just a wonderful confidence in the Holy Ghost when Brother French was preaching about an open door, and that little track coach from Hewitt Trustful got the Holy Ghost. And I thought, that's a confirmation if I ever saw one in my life. And so I want you to walk in that and know that this, because of that open door, is a season wherein you can just, where you've talked to people before and they might not have responded, they're going to respond now. There's a hunger that is poured out from on high, and you need to be looking for that. So don't let past experience or refusals or negative responses cause you to be calloused about what God's called you to do. But always be reaching and hear the word. When God speaks to you that plainly, then you need to know that something's going to open wide up. So, all right. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 21. And these folks that are walking through these valleys of sickness and grief right now, keep them on your heart and lift them up and do the work of the church. It's amazing. Sometimes you can be walking through a place that's very difficult, and you can literally feel prayer lift you up, and you know somebody's praying for you, like a visitation from the Holy Ghost. But I appreciate the people of God and their prayer. We're going to work on the triumphant entry tonight, Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read the whole story and then go back and talk about it for what time we have together tonight. Praise God. This is one of the last times he'll enter into Jerusalem, because he will so inflame his enemies in this visit that they can't do anything but nail him to a cross. And so, and that's his idea. It's his cross. It's not theirs. It's his plan. It's not theirs. They're players on the board. And he's driving them to fulfill prophecy. Matthew chapter 21 and beginning in verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives, and then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go unto the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. Now don't do this unless you hear, really, really hear from God. You can't just go take people's private property and lay claim to it in the name of the kingdom of God. So if you're reading this and you really believe the word of God, don't get any ideas. You have to have a commission from God to do this. Okay. So don't be borrowing somebody's car saying, the Lord needs this. On this trip, if you could envision in your mind's eye a hill and a valley and another hill, he's coming from Bethany over a crest of a ridge. The Mount of Olives is there, the place he will pray before he's crucified. He comes across that mountain, and he's going to cross a bridge over the Valley of Kidron, and he's going to make his way up toward the temple in this story. And this is much the same route he will take on the night that they drag him from pillar to post throughout Jerusalem before they crucify him. So this is kind of a pilot run here. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying. Now, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to see that this story is laced through with prophecy. And that he is literally walking in prophecy, and the people are speaking in prophecy. And this is like a script that's been written from hundreds of years before. By the way, you're walking in the same type of a prophetic context tonight. You are walking. You are the Gentile church. You are the filled with the Holy Ghost that Joel was talking about. You are those upon whom the ends of the age have come. You're living in the day of the resurgent Israel, and Zion is back in the land, and there's never been a day quite like this day. And just like these people can be a little bit blind to the powerful prophetic pulse in their day. You can get so wrapped up in kids and cornflakes and shoes and bills and work. And all you have to do is lift your eyes and prophecies all around you. This was all done, verse 4, so that the word of the prophet can be fulfilled. Verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And he brought the ass and the colt. They put on them their clothes and they set him thereon. And in a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees, strawed or strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And after he cleaned the house, then the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they didn't like it. They were sore displeased. And they said unto him, don't you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Praise God. Well, God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God, and we give you thanks and we magnify your name for the gift, the wonderful and unspeakable gift of your word. Tonight in this house, plant it like seed in our heart. Help us, O God, to be hearers and doers of your word. And everybody said amen. Praise God. So, this is an extremely potent prophetic passage here, and we're making our way through it tonight. You have a Bible, my friend, and you're able to read that Bible. Okay, we're going to start with Zechariah 9 and 9. You can just sit right there by your lovely wife and read there. She'll help you with the hard places. Everybody say praise the Lord. So the king enters Jerusalem by prophecy. It's been prophesied that he's coming. Hell can't stop it. Rome can't stop it. Israel can't stop it. It's going to happen. There are some things in your life that have been prophesied. There are some things in our world tonight that have been prophesied. Hell can't stop it. People can't stop it. Circumstances can't stop it. When you are up against an impenetrable barrier, don't worry about it. If you've got a word of prophecy in your pocket, if God has spoken it, he's going to bring it to pass. He said, if you can believe this, you can speak to this mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea, and it'll have to happen. Well, praise God. Do you believe that tonight? Anybody up against it tonight? I want you to know there's a word of prophecy in this house and in this day and about this church and about this city. And you need to realize that tonight. And my God, I'm glad for a word that said you got an open door. Well, praise God. So he comes in by prophecy. He tells them, and the events surrounding this are miraculous. Go and tell this man that the king has need of your beast of burden, and then the guy's just going to give it up. All this is prepared before they ever go. Right. Has there anybody in this house had God prepare something before you got there? How many of you? You know it was God, and it was ready before you got there. Don't you know he's going to do that again? Some of you, just raise your hand. You're sitting in a place where you're a little bit concerned about how it's going to work and how you're going to get there and what it'll be like. But don't you know he's done it before? He's going to take care of business. God never lies. He never fails. He does everything well. And so he's got, God's coming. He's coming back. He's coming into lives. He's coming in revival. He's coming into this city. He's coming into this church. And there's nothing can stop it. Well, praise God. And it's already prepared. I said everything we need is already prepared. Everything you need is already prepared. And it's part of what God has already set into motion. And that's the first part of this. He sends them to get the beast of burden. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet in Zechariah 9 and 9. Would you read that, please?
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Get it a little more fuerza.
In English, por favor.
Strength.
Okay. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
That's good. Bring it up a click or two more.
Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem.
That helps me.
Behold, thy king cometh.
Who's coming?
Thy king.
The king's coming. He said, get ready, get ready. The king's, this is hundreds of years before the event. But he said, get ready, because it's coming. And some people want to say, well, when is he coming? Well, I can't tell you when, but you need to be ready. You need to, why are you doing all that? Why do you live like that? Why have you made those decisions? Because he's coming. And I want to be ready, because I don't know when he's coming. But it might be today, and it might be. I don't know when those 100 are going to get the Holy Ghost in one service, but it might be this week. I don't know when that Bible study is going to open up where we get into families that just won't stop, but it's coming. I don't know when that door is going to open up for your family, but it's coming, it's coming. Somebody say amen. Give your neighbor a high five and say it's coming. Tell somebody, shake them a little bit and say it's going to be just right. It's going to be just perfect. Does anybody believe that tonight? It's coming. Come on. You're not just anybody on the street. You're a child of God. We're not just walking anyway. We're walking in the kingdom of God. My God, somebody clap your hand and shout a little bit. Oh, I felt in the Holy Ghost I might be able to wake you up a little bit on a sleepy Wednesday night. Behold, your king's coming.
Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation.
Got his salvation. Now, when they begin to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna literally means save. Save us or save. And it through the generations, it becomes a praise. But it literally means save. So he's coming with salvation. Read on.
Lowly and riding upon an ass.
Not on a charger, not with a conquering army. Right. And this is, listen, what they're talking about here is the Davidic king. Right. The long prophesied Messiah. Right. Who in their apocalyptic theology of the day, they believed that he would displace Rome and give the kingdom back to Israel as it was in the days of David and Solomon. Right. They were not expecting this, but when they saw it, they knew what it was. I'm telling you, the street is about to break up here because they see him, and the people have been raised up on the word of God all their life. And when they see it, they put it all together and they begin to have a fit. How's he coming?
Lowly and riding upon an ass.
He's not going to come with a conqueror's smirk like the Romans come. He's not going to come in all of the things you might feature with the strength of a human. But he's coming lowly and meek and what?
And upon a colt and the foal of an ass.
And a colt and the foal of an ass. Now Mark doesn't say it. Mark just says he's riding on it. A donkey. And Luke doesn't say anything about it. But Matthew is so obsessed with being specific. And when you see Matthew say, behold, Matthew is saying, I do, I-D-O-U. It means look and understand. He's stopping in the middle of the story and saying, watch this. God's about to do something. And so here Matthew says, I want you to go get this ass and the colt. And he's coming on both of them, just like the prophecy said. It's weird. It's unusual. We don't see that. You might not have ever seen that in your life, and you may not have seen it later. But he's, and I don't know, we can speculate as to how he's riding on one and hanging off the other, and you just don't know. And the commentaries are full of discussion about whether or not Matthew knew what he was talking about. But see, the commentaries don't bother me because I know this is the word of God. And God is doing something so plain and so obvious that a simple-minded person could say, yep, he's riding on two. That's got to be him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Read on.
The chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen.
He's coming in power. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. And so his disciples get this unwieldy rig together, and Jesus rides in on it. And in verse 8 and 9, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and laid them in the way. They know that he is royalty. They believe he is the Davidic king. They believe that he is the Messiah. And Jerusalem is ratcheting up, and the tension is about to explode. And verse 9, and the multitude that went before and those that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They believe he's the Davidic king. That's what that means. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They believe that he's the one that's coming by the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then they say, Hosanna in the highest. They are giving him praise that is only ascribable unto God. And he's receiving that praise. He's not saying, no, no, don't praise me. Praise God. He's riding right into the middle of it. They're praising him as God on the earth, and he's receiving the praise. Psalms 118, 22 through 29. Now, this triumphant entry is a template for quite a number of things, but one of the things it's a template for is praise and worship. Praise and worship not rooted in emotion. Praise and worship not rooted in tradition. But praise and worship that's rooted in knowledge. And what they're doing right now as they're praising him and they're laying their garments down and they're waving palm fronds and they're calling him the Son of David and they're screaming Hosanna. They know exactly what they're doing. They've been prepared by the word of God. And praise then paves the way for the king to come in. The word of God said he inhabits the praises of his people. That's why when you go to a place where people don't praise him, you don't feel him. That's why when you go to some place where nobody's praising God, God doesn't show up. He's got a lot to do. He doesn't go where he's not wanted. But if you can get a group of people together that by understanding begin to praise and worship and magnify God according to the dictates of the word of God. Ah, here comes the king. I know he'll come because it's been prophesied. If I'm in a pit, all I've got to do is praise him. And here he comes. He's coming into my trouble. In my trouble, I'll praise him. In my sickness, I'll praise him. In my heartbreak, I'll praise him. Because I know when I praise him, he's coming right in where I am. And when God shows up,
the stone which the builders refused has become the head.
Here he comes.
Stone of the corner.
Here he comes. They rejected him. He's the chief cornerstone. They're about to nail him to a cross. But he's riding in the midst of all of this prophecy. And if they can put the pieces together, they would know that they were looking at the chief cornerstone coming in to lay a foundation for a new kingdom of God in their midst. Read on.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Praise God.
This is the day which the Lord hath made.
My God, this is a day. What a day. What a day. What a day. Here comes the king, and he is the chief cornerstone, and we're going to build on what he does. Listen, all I've got to have is God show up in my life, and I can begin to build again. If my dreams are destroyed, I can begin to build again. If my life is scattered 10 ways to Sunday, I can begin to build again because he is the chief cornerstone. All you need is God to show up. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. You've lost everything you have. Well, you know what? I hadn't lost a thing. Because if I've got God in my life, He is a chief. Let me just find my cornerstone here. And we'll just start building all over again. And you know what? It's going to be better this time than it's ever been before. My God, does anybody believe that? You might lose a house. You can lose a car. You can lose a job. You can lose a position. But you can't lose what God has built in your life. Here He comes. He's a cornerstone. He is the cornerstone, the foundation, then, of my praise. Why do you praise like that? Why do you act like that? Because God, by prophecy, has projected things in my life. And my role, I can't make stars. And I can't craft rivers. Right. And I can't build up mountains. And I can't raise the dead. And I can't heal the sick. And there's not much this poor, pitiful humanity can do. But I can clap my hands. And I can lift my voice. And I can give Him all the praise that He's worthy of. Here He comes. He's a king. All He needs is somebody to praise Him in the way. God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. And then He says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Everybody say, I will rejoice. And be glad in it. And this is the theological or philosophical cornerstone of worship and praise. Every day, I'll praise Him. Malachi said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. He said, watch it, Israel that rejected me. Watch it, you Jews who did not do this. I'm going to raise up a Gentile church, and they're going to be offering up righteous sacrifices from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. If you haven't read Brother Talmage French's book on Our God is One, he documents 30 million in every nation under God's sun, little Buddhist monks who got a hold of a Bible and they baptized, 25,000 people in the name of Jesus from the rising of the sun. If you can see the grid in your mind, see the sun rising over the coastline of China and Russia and Japan, and know that over there, while you're tucked away in your bed, little people are getting up out of their beds and they're beginning to thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for another chance. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your blessing. And that little murmur starts to build all across Asia and Africa and the islands of the sea, and then over Europe, and then into North America. And when they're going to bed at night, we're beginning to praise Him and worship Him. And it's from the rising of the sun. This is the day. The cornerstone of your praise is philosophically and theologically the fact that God is in charge of this day. And my circumstances don't determine my praise. And my enemy doesn't determine my praise. And my bank book doesn't determine my praise. What determines my praise is the fact that the King is coming. I know it by prophecy. He's coming into my life. And when He comes, everything's gonna be all right. I'll praise Him in the face of the devil. I'll praise Him in the face of my enemy. I'll praise Him in a valley of trouble. My God, I'm preaching praise to New Life United Pentecostal Church. One of the worshipingest, praisingest, those are non-existent words, churches in the whole world. What are you doing? I'm laying another plank. I'm laying another stone. I'm telling you why you do this. I want newbies to understand why we do this. I want the incredulous observers to know why we act like this. Because we're making a way for the King to come in. And we know when He comes in, my God, everything is going to be all right. God, I wish somebody just shout about it a little bit right now. Would you just give Him a little bit of glory? Just give Him a little bit of praise. My God, Sister Cynthia, if you can do it, take that little truck of yours around. Somebody praise Him for Jimmy Green right now. Somebody praise Him for Elder Hagedorn right now. Somebody praise Him for Sister Jackie Trevino right now. Somebody praise Him for those that are in a place where they just don't have the strength. You got trouble in your life. You got circumstances in your life. What are you doing? Have you lost your mind? What are you doing? I'm praising God. I'm going before. I'm following behind. I'm waving my palm frond. I'm laying down my coat in the way. I'm giving him outrageous praise. I'm giving him extravagant praise. My God, my God, my God. Touch your neighbor and tell him this is the day the Lord has made. Tell him he's worthy of praise. I want somebody that's broke to praise him right now. I want somebody that's rich to praise him right now. Oh, I want somebody that is sick in your body to praise him. I want somebody that's got a big problem to praise him. I want somebody that's got a broken heart to praise him. You say, what is that all about? When you get up in the morning, you don't know what kind of day it's going to be. But your faith dictates your praise. And your relationship dictates your praise. And he's worthy no matter what I'm going through. My God. Read on. I keep interrupting you. We will never get anywhere.
Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord.
Hosanna. Save, Lord.
O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity.
Okay, you're quietening down on me again now.
Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. Lord, I beseech thee.
Help him, Lindsay. Give him a little music in the back.
Send now prosperity.
That's what Hosanna means. Yeah. Hosanna means save, God. Yeah. Why do you worship? I got some needs in my life. I got some things going on. I need God to show up in my life. God won't come because you beg him. God won't come because you need him. God won't come because he knows you. God will come because you praise him.
All right.
Read on.
Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
My God, that's what they're shouting on the mountain as he's coming into Jerusalem. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It was written for them, and they're speaking by prophecy. God will lead you even when you don't understand or know why or what he's leading you into.
We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord.
We're blessing you, Lord. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
God is the Lord.
God is the Lord. Everybody say, God is the Lord.
God is the Lord.
My God. Go ahead.
Which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar.
Bring God into the presence. We've got a sacrifice. But the word of God says that we don't offer up bulls and rams and lambs, but we offer up the sacrifice of our lips. We offer up praise to God continually. Here comes God. Bind the sacrifice. Well, it's not an animal anymore. It's my praise.
Thou art my God.
28.
And I will praise thee.
You're my God. Man, bartender's not going to praise you. The unbeliever's not going to praise you.
Hey.
The people down the street that don't believe in praising God, they say they know him, but they don't believe in praising him. They're not going to praise you. But you're my God, and I'm going to praise you. I want you to know that, God. Tomorrow I'm going to praise you. And Friday I'm going to praise you. And Saturday I'm going to give you some praise. And when I come to the house on Sunday, I'm going to praise and magnify God. On a sleepy Wednesday night. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. When I'm in trouble, he's worthy. If I don't have what I need, he's worthy. That never changes. He's always worthy. You're my God, and I'm going to praise you. Go ahead.
Thou art my God. I will exalt thee.
Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, that's my job. It's the bartender's job to pour the drink. It's the drug dealer's job to sell the drugs.
Hey.
It's the whore's job to service all the Johns that come in. It's everybody's got a job. My job is to praise God.
Yeah.
look around. They're all doing their jobs. Where's the church of the living God? Why you act like that? Because he's worthy. Why you act like that? Because he's my God. Why do you act like that? Because he's a king. And when I praise him, he comes into where I am. Touch your neighbor and tell them, see, you just thought we were crazy. We know why we're praising God. This is intelligent lunacy. See, those people are crazy. Yeah, but they know what they're doing. You say, what does that do? I don't know, but it's been working for over 35 years. It's been working fine. I go to praising him. He shows up. He shows up. He takes care of business. My life gets better when God shows up. 29, we'll stop there.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. David said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why give praise to God?
For he is good.
Because he's good. Touch him and say, don't you think God is good? We'll tell him, we'll praise him. Don't you think God's merciful?
Yeah.
We'll praise him. Don't you think God's worthy? We'll praise him. Now, we don't have time tonight to do the tutorial. If we were going to do the tutorial, we'd go to Psalms 149 and 150. And we'd go to the Psalms that talk about clap your hands, shout with a voice of triumph, make a loud noise unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise him on stringed instruments. Praise him on organs. Praise him on high-sounding cymbals. Praise him on loud cymbals. Let the handmaidens praise him. Let the young men praise him. Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the dance. But we don't have time for the tutorial tonight. Why do you act like that? Well, because that's biblical praise. This is not biblical praise. Hands in your pockets, not biblical praise. Sitting through it all is not biblical praise. Now, Sis Cynthia, you get a pass. You're in extraordinary circumstances. When she does this, the walls of hell get hit by a pulse from the Holy Ghost. Boom. When you go to Jimmy Green's house and he says, praise the Lord, it reverberates throughout the universe. Because God handicaps his praisers. I don't mean he cripples them. A handicap is a little bonus that you get. It works like this. You got to really work something up to praise God to the level that Jimmy Green praises God when he just says praise God, because he's been laying there with a broken neck for as long as this church has been in existence. And when he smiles and praises God, it thunders in the house. You gotta get with it to cause it to cloud up and rain a little bit in the house. You understand what I'm telling you? Why do we praise him? Because he's good, because his mercy endures forever. All right, clap your hands into him and bless his name. Are you okay? I'm sorry if I messed up your Wednesday night nap. At verse 10, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, we're back in Matt 21, Justin. They're French, Justin. And when he was, everybody say, when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city, all the city was moved. Now, when we read that, it's like, man, it was moved. This is one of those places where Matthew uses a strategic word. The word he uses there is seismos. We had a little seismos going on Saturday. We've been having a lot of seismos going on. And in the Greek, it just means shaking. But it's a word that's used to denote earthquakes. Matthew uses seismos when Jesus dies and the earth begins to shake and the graves open. And he uses seismos when Jesus comes up out of the grave and there's an earthquake and the keepers of the grave fall down like dead men. And so it's more than just they were excited. Something began to shake down at the depth beneath that city, way beyond the natural structures, but down into spiritual structures. Now, if you think I'm taking this too far, you preach it differently when you preach it. But these are spiritual words. He said, my word is spirit and it's life. It's spiritually given and spiritually discerned. He said there was a seismos going on, an earthquake. I liked our old microphone that had a loose top on it because when I did that, it went boom, 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 boom. And I could do a seismos in the house tonight. Praise God. When the king comes, there's a shaking that begins. There's a shaking that begins. It happened in the jail with Paul and Silas. And when that shaking came, people that were in prison, their doors began to open and the chains began to fall off their hands. How did this happen? It was prophetically pressed into real time. It came by the voice of the prophets of old. And then people in real time on the deck began to praise and magnify and worship God. And as they did, there was a convergence of what God had made available and what people were willing to receive. And God began to move in that city and something began to shake. And I believe that God has a seismos for the city of Birmingham. I believe that he does. I believe that this little church can be an epicenter. I believe this little church, I believe your praise can be an epicenter for God's revival in this city. Right now, my God, do you know somebody that you love that you'd like to see their jail cell open up? And I don't mean in the literal, I mean in the spirit. You got an alcoholic that you love, you got a drug addict that you love, you got somebody that's so bound up by tradition they can't get out. I'm telling you, if we can get the king to come in and a shaking begins to move. Just tonight, but this is why we praise. This is why we praise. This is why we worship. When you don't have an answer, praise him. When you don't know what to do, praise him. When the circumstances seem insurmountable, praise him. I know, I hear him say, well, you can't praise your way out of things. Praise God. I was going to take you on a trip to Haggai 2. Ooh, it's good. No, it can't. You can't do it. It talks about the temple and how awesome the next temple is going to be. And he begins to say, and Haggai sets this up because, see, there's a seismos in Haggai's prophecy. And that's how you get there. And Matthew knows that. And so he takes you there. But he talks about how many of you saw the glory of the former house. He said, I want you to know the glory of the latter house is going to be greater. And he's talking about temples. But I'll tell you this, the temple of Zerubbabel wasn't anything like the temple of Solomon. That
prophecy was not fulfilled in the rebuilt temple. They didn't even have the equipment in the Holy of Holies. That wasn't fulfilled there. But it's going to be fulfilled here. That latter house is a house made of lively stones. That latter house is a house made out of your life and your family. Touch your neighbor and say, why don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? About to let you go. They said, who is this? Verse 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus, when he came down off that trail, out of the praise, and they're still praising him, he goes straight to the house of God. And he walks in as one who owns the house. He comes in with authority. And oh, when you learn to praise him, always in every circumstance, when God comes to you, God comes with authority. I felt authority moving in this house tonight before we even began to sing and praise him. I felt it here Sunday. They told me it was here in the house on Tuesday night at prayer. I feel it moving into place right now. Praise God. And when he walks in with authority, he begins to tip over the money changers' tables. He begins to kick over the cages where they have their decrepit sacrifices. They've moved legitimate businesses into the court of the Gentiles and into the house of God. And I don't have time to explain what they were doing there, but he didn't like it. He said, my house is called to be a house of prayer for all nations, and you've made it a den of thieves. And in all of that, he's quoting the Psalms and he's quoting Jeremiah. And everything he says and everything he does that day is by prophetic pulse. And he walks, when he comes into your life, he will walk in the power of the prophecy of the Word of God and bring to pass his will in your life. And he cleans the house. Things that you may not have power to overcome. When he comes into your house, when he comes into your life, when he comes into your church, by the power of your willingness, he will begin to move things out that you didn't have power to move. He cleans the house. And after he cleans the house, and frankly at that moment seals his fate, because he just walked into the high place of Israel and kicked over everything and stared them eyeball to eyeball and threw down a gauntlet that they could not ignore. And while he's doing that, people that are normally in his entourage but never could go to the temple, blind people and lame people and cripples couldn't enter into the temple because they were defiled. They couldn't come in. But with all that racket and worship and praise, they forgot about all that. And they just started making their way into the temple. Go on to 14. And he begins to heal them in the temple. My God, church, if you learn to set aside everything and purely and with purpose and understanding praise him, God's going to unleash miracles in your life and the gifts of the Spirit. And God's best is going to be manifest in your life and in your home and in this church. Anybody believe that tonight? Well, praise God. And then verse 15. And this is one of my favorite things in all the Word of God. One of my favorite things in all the Word of God. And when the priests and the scribes saw it, they saw what he did. And the children in the temple going, Santa! Saw those little babies in there worshiping, because he just turned everything upside down.
They said, "Don't you see what they're doing?" They were sorely displeased. They didn't like it. Well, we have any little ones here tonight? Let me get some little ones here. Oh, we had Jamara and Mia and Vincente. And I'm drawing this. Jarell, what's wrong with me? Vincent, would you help me tonight? Come here with me. Just come walk with me. Sister Mia, tell me something. What do you want your little brother to be when he grows up? You want him to be a drug dealer? She knows that. You want him to be a wino laying on the street corner somewhere? You want him to be a gang banger with his drawers hanging out everywhere? And you want that for him? I'm not going to ask you, Mama, because Mama's got all this down. But what do you want him to be? You want him to love God, worship God, and praise God, and magnify God, and obey God, and serve God, and give glory to God? Yeah. Well, you don't. Let me tell you a secret. We don't start on him when he's 14 or 15. We start on him right now. We start on him right now. When we're in a Sunday night or we're in a Sunday morning service, I want him on the side of his seat holding his hand out. I want him pulling on his daddy's coat saying, "Daddy, come run with me. Daddy, come shout with me. Daddy, come down." Because see, until he's 11, this is a public service announcement. Until they're 11, they can't be in the aisles by themselves. It's not safe. Sunday night, I saw several infractions of this code. I'll be giving tickets on Sunday. I'll write you up. So come on, Mom and Dad, help me. And if they're little bitty, they don't need to be sitting with a bunch of hoodlums. They need to be sitting with Mom and Daddy. Hey, that's good. See, we can, in the middle of this, we can do a little teaching too. Yeah. So until you're 11, you can't be out here. And if somebody takes you by the hand, and you listen to me, you 8-year-old, you 9-year-old, don't you go racing around here, uncontrollable, bouncing off the walls. You don't have enough sense to do this yet. You'll hurt somebody. Okay. I want Vincent to be everything that Mia wants him to be. So we're going to start with him early. So we're going to not only teach him in Sunday school about praise and worship, but we're going to demonstrate praise and worship. When he goes places where they don't worship and praise, I want him to think, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with this place? I want him to know this is how you magnify and praise God. When they're little bitty babies, I want them, when they hear music, you watch these 3-year-olds, these 2-year-olds, they're like, they're already starting. It's already getting on them. The kingdom of heaven is like a little child. But we've got to start with them at this. The Pharisees don't like it. Don't you see what those kids are doing? Well, we don't care about you. We care about him. I want him to grow up to be a praiser and a worshiper. All right? If you don't like it, there's a lot of dead, dull, dry, empty places you can go to worship. So we start on them. You know, you're helping me, Vincent. You're doing a good job, my friend. Wonderful job. He's thinking, what's in this for me? In the story, the Bible says, those that went before and those that followed after. And when you get down into the temple, the little children are praising God. And he says, and Vincent, you can go back. He says, have you not read? And this is always the Pharisees' problem. They don't know the Word of God. They know the Talmud. They know the Mishnah. They know the Midrash. They don't know the Word of God. He said, haven't you read that strength is ordained in the mouth of babes?
praise is perfected in the mouth of babes. And what he's touched on there is one of the most powerful concepts in the Word of God. The generational transfer of the kingdom of God from father to son, generation by generation. Israel blows this throughout their history because they fail to pass it on from generation to generation. When I see these children and these young people, some of them are unruly and some of them aren't doing it right. But I'd rather have them doing it wrong and have to correct them than to try to train a 16-year-old with a recalcitrant attitude how to praise and magnify God. I want them to have it in them from the time they're little bitty. And that's where strength is ordained and praise is perfected. Let's stand together. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's gather down around the altar tonight. There's a lot more on the platter tonight. I would encourage you to go and study all of these things. But let's come down around the altar tonight. If you got family here, knit up with your family. If you don't, hook up with somebody and let them adopt you. Come on, make room for them down here. Now touch somebody by you and tell them, we're going to praise God. Say it like Joshua said it. As for me and my house, we're going to praise and magnify God. Now what I'd like you to do is make a little praise circle with your family here. Make a little praise circle with your group here. Come on, come on. A little praise circle going with your family. Now a praise circle doesn't work well unless you're dancing, so. Of God on a Wednesday night.
appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate your worship. I appreciate your ministry and what God's doing in you. And I'm just so jazzed about what God is about to uncork in this city. Share your strength and your love with one another before you go. Remember, if you're in study with me, Friday evening we'll be on. And then youth at 8, I guess. All right, God bless you. We'll be right back.